Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Joe George behind the glass, and it is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I'm on remote today. I'm out of the studio because we have Houston basketball a little bit later. I thought Blankers wasn't working today.
He's not working today. It's me.
What? That was Blankers.
That was
what up,
H-Town?
Hey, how we doing?
I nailed it again.
I think that was the best hey, what up, I screwed it up, the hey, what up, H-Town that we've ever had. I think he did it better than Blankers does it. Who was that?
That was Michael Connor, both times.
Ah.
I give him a 12 out of 10.
Okay, it's not possible.
Well, then I just said it, so it is possible.
Yeah, I heard down the line that Beard wasn't doing it because your voice hurts. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I got a weenie voice today.
He's all bricked up. I got to go get my hair cut now. Thanks for letting me do it.
How much of that hair do you need cut? I'm looking
not
at you
much.
On Twitch. It is a Wednesday edition. Blankers is gone the next 3 days. Joe has stacked me up with military men the next 2 days. Josh Beard with me today, former military man. Tomorrow, Sarge will be with us for at least a little bit, another military man, and then I have to go do it with Joe on Friday. So I'm not going to call that a step down, but yeah, a little bit of a step down.
What would it be? Not necessarily a step down, but a sidestep may not be the right thing. Maybe just like a step back.
Step back three?
Little yeah. Side step yeah.
Three, one
a little, little step back
deal.
Three. A little less efficient, but if it hits, it's real good.
I commend you for having the courage and the voice for doing 6 hours of radio, but not having the voice to do 6 seconds of what up, H-Town, hey, how we doing?
I was going to do it. Michael came in and said he wanted to do it, so I allowed him to do it here on the Killer Beards on a Wednesday.
You allowed him to do it on
yes.
The Killer Bees.
No, on the Killer Beards.
Making executive decisions. So, all right, lots to get to today, Beard. I have no idea where you stand on a lot of these things, so either it's going to be you agreeing with me or it's going to be maybe a knockout, dragout. This has been a fun week. The Houston Texans are playing meaningful football in December. That's awesome. When was the last time we've been able to say that? We all know the answer, but we don't want to mention Deshaun Watson's name. So playing meaningful football in the month of December is great. We've had some drama. We've had an injury that has led to a lot of discussion, a lot of conversation. The hot stove for the Astros, would we consider it that it's heating up or it's like preheating? I don't know. What does a backup catcher mean? Does it mean that it's a hot stove? Does it mean that it's still warming up? I don't know if there's a whole lot of moves still left for the Astros.
It's a simmering stove.
Okay, yeah, that could be the way that it goes. I don't know how hot the stove's going to get for the Astros, though. I think they have one more move left in them, but we'll get to all of that. Rockets are relevant. It's going to be a fun show today. We hope that you stick around. I'm gonna be doing it from afar, but which makes it good because sometimes I don't really like being in your vicinity, so that makes it.
You
okay.
You don't like being in my vicinity?
Oh, yeah.
That is the meanest thing you've ever said to me, Jeremy.
That's not
and you've
true.
Said a lot
That's
of mean things
true.
To me. That is one of the meanest things you've ever said to me. I love being in your vicinity. You're one of my favorite people to do a show with outside of Michael Connor, and you just hurt my feelings. So now we're not friends for 3 minutes.
Okay. I was at my group chat yesterday. We were talking about some stuff about, like, doing a show with you. And they're like, you can't be a jerk, but that's going to be hard for you. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
Why can't you be a jerk to me?
I think it's like my prevailing attitude. It's like I'm kind of like jerkish.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be. I have a good heart, I think.
I think you do, but that's what makes you so – you're like the lovable jerk. You're a lovable jerk, though.
I'm a prevailing – how would you say it? Not
jerkdom?
Mood.
Your natural state of jerkiness?
Maybe attitude.
Yeah.
Is like jerkish in attitude. My prevailing attitude is a jerk. I try not to be. I think that I'm nice. I also went to Panda Express to grab some lunch today. Yeah, I'm fat. They didn't give me a fork, so I'm trying to like think outside the box here.
How many entrees did you get on that bad boy?
I actually just went with one today.
Yeah, then you're not
actually
fat.
With the super greens as my
get
side.
Out of here with your super greens.
What super greens?
You went through that drive-thru. They said chow mein or fried rice, and you said super greens, and they laughed at you.
Yeah, I ordered it on the app because you know I'm a. You don't like
human interaction. It's okay. You could say it.
You know who else? You know, nowadays you can order on the apps and it makes it a lot easier. Like ordering at the actual drive-thru is antiquated, which is kind of like this caveman football take. It's football. Must be injury. Like that's the argument of the week has been the Texans' usage of Tank Dell. Some people didn't like that I used the word abuse, even though the Texans have used him in a variety of different ways, punt return, kick return, blocking in the box. I don't know if it's the best way to use Tank Dell. People would say it's not abuse, it's misuse. Look up abuse in the dictionary. It says misuse. But I feel like we're hearing a lot of antiquated caveman thoughts about how football is played. And look, it's a tough game. It's physical. You're going to have to be, you know, strong-minded and tough, and I get all of those things. But also, we have moved into a day where we do things to mitigate injury. And I'm not even talking about the rules. Like, look at the rules of football. The rules of football have done a lot of things to mitigate injury because they don't want their star players hurt, especially at the quarterback position. You go low, it's a penalty. You blow them a kiss to the helmet, it's a penalty. I'm not even talking about the rules. But in this kind of pertains to Tank Dell. It very much pertains to Tank Dell because I think Tank Dell is a very critical piece for the Houston Texans and they're sorely going to miss him. If you go around the football field, Beard, you look at positions that over the last 10 years have done tons of things to mitigate injury at that position. Because look, I get it's a physical game. I get that injuries happen. But you also try to keep your stars away from injury, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
The quarterback position. What did they do whenever they run? They try to slide. They try to get out of bounds. They don't take hits. Why? Mitigating injury. Look at running backs now versus running backs 10, 15 years ago, and look how many touches and carries they get compared to 10 to 15 years ago. Why? A couple reasons. One is injury. The second one is you want to keep them fresh, things like that. How about wide receivers? They have more plays off than they've ever had. They're getting down more instead of taking hits. You look at the offensive linemen, those are real tough guys, I think, because they play 100% of the snaps. They're there in the trenches. I'll give them all the credit in the world. Look at the defensive side of the ball. Will Anderson played 70% of the snaps the other day. That's not a knock on Will Anderson. That's the evolution of the position trying to mitigate injury. If you leave a guy on the football field the entire game outside of the offensive line, probably the secondary a little bit, there's good chance of them getting hurt. For Tank Dell, for instance, I wanted him nowhere near the box. Whenever he broke his fibula, well, it's a football injury. Yeah, it is a football injury. Yes, it's going to hurt whenever a 300-pound guy rolls over you and smashes into your fibula. But maybe you keep Tank Dell out of the land of the Giants where all those 300-pounders are so you can lower the probability of him actually getting hurt, Josh Beard.
I understand what people are saying when it comes to Tank Dell's decision to go deeper into that play. Because if you go back and watch that play, he goes into motion, gets a little closer, so they have that bunch formation, and he goes right into the middle and tries to get a key block and a lead block.
Which it was a key block,
to
be fair.
It was a very key block, which is great. And I understand Tank Dell's decision to do that. And I understand where people are saying, okay, you're the football player. This is football. You can't worry about that in the moment. I agree with them to that extent. But if you're the Texans coaching staff, if you're Texans management, when you're making decisions for your player, you have to do everything you can to, like you said, mitigate injuries. And Tank Dell is 165 pounds, soaking wet, listed at 165. I think that's being generous. And you've got guys like Nico Collins who weigh in the 200s. He's like 215. John Mechie's in the 190s. If you need a guy who has a little bit bigger of a body who can go in there and block for you, it shouldn't be Tank Dell. You need to put your players in the right position to succeed and stay as healthy as possible. It's asset management.
Yeah,
this isn't a Tank Dell thing. This is a coaching thing, and they shouldn't have put him in that position.
I think it's both because, I mean, Tank is the reason that you can have a higher ceiling. Like, he's at least one of your top two receivers. Like, he and Nico are kind of 1A, 1B with what you currently have. Tank's a better, like, playmaker, X-factor. Nico's a bigger – like, they're great contrasting styles, actually, because they're very diverse in what they do whenever you look at the pairing together. you're right. It's like asset management. What do I need to do to keep him on the field? Because if he's on the field, I have a better chance to win. And I get the argument, too. Well, you need him on the field. You can't tip your hand. Because if you tip your hand, the other team's going to zero in on a running play. Like, I understand that. Like, I get that. I can totally respect that point of view. So I wanted to go look at how – because Joe mentioned this, I think it was Monday. He said, well, you know, I'm curious how Miami uses Tyreek Hill. And I'm not saying that Tank Dell is as good of a football player as Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Tyreek Hill is one of the two best offensive offensive non-quarterbacks this year. He and Christian McCaffrey. He's probably going to win the offensive player of the year. I am not calling Tank Dell Tyreek Hill, but they are both very vital to their offenses. Tank Dell is vital to the Miami Dolphins offense. Tyreek Hill is Tyreek very Hill. Vital to the Miami Dolphins offense. Tank Dell is very vital to the Houston Texans offense. So I wanted to go see how the Dolphins use Tyreek Hill in the running game, because both kind of similar systems. Slowick came from the Shanahan tree. McDaniel came from the Slowick tree. They both have very good offenses. Texans offense not as good as the Dolphins offense. So I went and charted, Josh Beard, every single running play that the Miami Dolphins had in the first half this past week against Washington, just to get an idea of how the Miami Dolphins use Tyreek Hill. Because we've heard, well, it's football. You got to be able to block in the box. You got to use Tank Dell everywhere, all across the board. Here are the 16 running plays, Josh, for how Miami used Tyreek Hill. Okay, the first one, he blocked downfield. The second one, he blocked downfield. The third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, he was not on the field at all. The seventh handoff in the first half, it was an end around to Tyreek Hill. The eighth run, not on the field. Ninth run, not on the field. Tenth run, not on the field. 11th run, downfield blocking. 12th run, downfield blocking. 13th run, he just stood there. It's kind of interesting, but he's so good that I guess you have to respect him just standing there. The 14th was an end around to him. The 15th was a downfield block. And the 16th block, they use him as a fake decoy end around, took him away from the running play altogether. I don't know the whole season. But I imagine that this was a small microcosm of the whole season. The Miami Dolphins ran the football 16 times in the first half against the Washington football team. He wasn't on the field for about half of them, and he never was in the box.
Yeah. I'd be interested to go back and watch those plays and see if there was ever a moment where he was kind of closer in and kind of motioned in or started near the box, and if he went outside. Because I feel like Tyreek Hill himself, to your point about Tank Dell needing to understand the importance of what he means to the offense, Tyreek Hill himself...
Oh, I think it's Slowick. I don't think it's Tank.
Well, agreed. But I think Tyreek Hill himself, if he were in a moment like that, in a play call like that, where he motions inside, he's probably not going to throw himself right into the mix. He's probably going to still block on the outside or block downfield. Because Tank Dell could have just decided to block downfield and stayed out of it.
See, I don't think that's the scheme. Like, the Houston Texans...
Do you think they're directly using him like that in those
moments?
I think
they use all of their wide receivers like that. Bobby Slowick talked about Tank Dell 2 weeks ago, how he thinks he's Nico Collins, and he loves that about him. And I was terrified in that very moment. Because it's like, if you're, like, love the fact that he thinks he's Nico Collins because he's tough and he's going to put his nose in there...
He's almost 60
pounds lighter.
I don't
want you putting his nose in there. And look, different receivers are doing different things, but the Texans motion their receivers in between tackles to be part of the blocking scheme. That's a San Francisco 49er thing. They want receivers who can block. That's why the Texans signed Noah Brown. You listen to Shanahan talk about the zone blocking scheme and the running attack in general. They want receivers that block downfield, which I get. I understand. Robert Woods, Noah Brown, even Nico Collins need to be doing those things. Tank Dell needs to block on the outside. My biggest issue is you're putting him in the land of the Giants, because the whole argument is, well, it's a football injury. Football injuries are going to happen. Yes, the physics of a 300-pound man falling on your left leg are very high. What is the probability of a 300-pound man falling on your fibula when you're never in the box? It is nearly impossible.
It's the probability is 0% if you're never there.
Unless you get one guy like going rogue and getting upfield, like on a halfback screen, something
a random
like that.
Play,
but it's incredibly it's incredibly fluke.
Yes.
Like that would be a fluke injury. Tank Dell blocking in the box with offensive linemen right behind him, like it increases the possibility of a dude falling on him very, very high. And when a 300-pound man falls on you with a high probability, there's a very, very good chance that you're going to get hurt.
And
keep him away from that.
And the extracurriculars that go – a lot of people have brought this up. People are bringing it up on the text line right now. The extracurriculars that go on in a dog pile like that, that go on whenever everybody is piled up, especially at the goal line where you have people grabbing and twisting or trying to – guys try to hurt each other in those piles. You don't want to. You don't want your number one offensive weapon anywhere near that. And so, if they're game planning directly and they're not thinking about, okay, we need to try to protect Tank Dell. We need to try to protect who he is. Then that's a huge mistake. One that I'm very upset that they had to learn the lesson the hard way. And hopefully, when he comes back next year, they never do it again. Nico Collins and Noah Brown are more than enough to throw out there where they are still a threat. They have some weight, they can block, and they can handle that a little bit more than a guy who is maybe 162 pounds at wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't like anything about it. You know, you have a really good football player that's imperative to your offense, and you're doing things with him that he shouldn't be doing. You got to protect the player. And I've seen a lot of people, Tank did it on his own. No, he didn't. Like the Texans wide receivers block in the run game. But even if he did, he didn't. But even if he did, that's something you coach out of him. Tank, we need you, man. You got to stop doing that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What's your handle, Josh Beard Radio?
At Josh Beard Radio. I'm one of the radio boys.
We're going to get to, as long as you don't call yourself the media, that's okay. We're not media. We're going to get to a lot of stuff. Astros, hot stove, where do the Rockets rank amongst like the NBA tiers around the league? Lots of Texans as well today with a big game coming up against the Jets and Zach Wilson. By the way, he's going to play some football again. All right, 713-780-ESPN is our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. He's at Josh Beard Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Joe's at Joe George Radio as well. All right, so we talked about Tank being out. He's done for the year. How impacted is the Texans' offense with no Tank? Can they survive no Tank? What does it mean for the Texans' offense? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, he's Beard. I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the season of giving. Air Team Heating and Cooling and ESPN 97.5 have teamed up for a holiday drive benefiting DePelchin Children's Center. Now through Friday, drop off donations at Air Team to support our Houston youth in foster care. Our station, of course, will be broadcasting live all day on Friday. Stop by, say hello with your donation as well. Most needed items and donation info is at airteamltd.com. airteamltd.com. You can check out the most needed items, donation. Please help if you can. Stop by Friday with your donation. Say hello to us. Holiday drive benefiting DePelchin Children's Center, brought to you by Air Team, your H-Town heating and cooling team. All right, Josh. The Texans are going to be without Tank Dell the rest of the year. You want to look at this from a one-game point of view or a five-game point of view?
Five-game point of view. Let's go ahead and do it. I like the macro, not the micro.
I'm more of a macro, not a micro guy myself. I kind of look at the forest more than I look at the trees.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm cool that you went this way. Can the Texans sustain not having Tank Dell? Can they sustain this top seven offense despite not having Tank Dell?
Sustain top seven? No. But I don't know that there's going to be a massive drop-off. A, because of the talent level of the teams that they're playing against, but B, because a large part of what they've done offensively isn't necessarily all Tank Dell. It's a big factor, and he does a lot to open things up in the passing game. He takes a lot of attention away, but C.J. Stroud, when it comes down to it, is the cog that makes all of this work. Tank Dell is a really nice weapon to have out there. He's a great weapon to have out there. He was wide receiver 1A. But Nico Collins is still out there doing Nico Collins things. He's nine yards away from a 1,000-yard season. If he continues on this trajectory, he should have over an 1,100-yard season, should have a 1,200-yard season or more. Anything under 1,200 yards might kind of be disappointing if he finishes out the season that way. So I think that this offense can there's going to be a drop-off. I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off. But losing a route technician the way Tank Dell is, and a weapon overall that they can kind of throw out there in a bunch of different ways that they can use creatively, it definitely hurts. I'm just interested to see who's going to step up in his absence. And I think I have my one candidate. But first of all, do you think that there's going to be a big drop-off in this offensive production?
Yes. I do. He's missed one full game, and it happened to be the Saints game right before the bye, which is good because it ended up only costing him one game. Probably would have cost him two games with a concussion earlier this year. And it's kind of like the bigger picture thing, too, is that because of the usage of Tank Dell, he only played in 11 games this year. He's going to miss nearly a third of his rookie season because of injury. One of them was a concussion. Couldn't do anything about that play. I mean, he dove back and dove for a ball, sold out for right. a catch on I think it was a critical late first half drive. We landed kind of on the dome of his head, got concussed, missed the Saints game, we would have missed a game during the bye week, and then now, of course, with the broken fibula. I think it's a huge loss for the Houston Texans. He's been one of your most, probably your most electric player. Hasn't been your most productive. Like, Nico has more catches. Nico has 290 more yards. But Tank has more touchdowns. And Tank, to me, is that guy where you kind of you go to him on a third and three. He's the guy that makes the critical play on a pivotal down. You know, a gotta-have-it play, a lot of times you're looking for Tank Dell. If you watched early in that first couple of drives when Tank Dell was still in the game before he got hurt, we know that the Broncos like to line up their top corner on the other team's top receiver most of the time. And Surtain will travel with that top receiver, whether you line him out wide to the left, when you put him in the slot to the right, out wide to the right. A lot of times Surtain will travel with the other team's top receiver no matter where you're aligning him. Surtain was doing that to Tank Dell. So if Sean Payton is telling me that the critical piece of the Houston Texans offense that he wanted to zero out was Tank Dell, that tells me, and all of you it should, how important Tank Dell is to the Houston Texans offense. To me, it's a critical loss. It's a massive loss. He's very, very good. Now, you go back to the Saints game, like that was the game before the bye. That was a long time ago. Like, how much can you look at that versus how much it's going to affect you going forward? Yeah, I'm not going to put a whole lot of value on it. But the Texans struggled offensively in that game. They scored 20 points and they had less than 300 yards of offense. You know, one of their worst offensive performances this year. In fact, it was their third lowest yards all season long. Saints have a pretty good defense, long time ago, et cetera, et cetera. The Broncos game. The Texans didn't look great offensively in the second half. You know, some of it was not finishing drives, things like that. So I think that this is a pretty big loss, critical loss. I'll go as far to say that. That said, C.J. Stroud has been shorthanded all year except for the Ravens game. There's only been two games all year in which he's had all of his four top receivers, Nico, Tank, Woods, and Noah Brown. The Baltimore game, which he was the first game of his NFL career, and then this past week against Denver, in which Tank Dell leaves the game very early, he also didn't have Dalton Schultz. So Stroud is used to being shorthanded, so that's kind of like cool, still a critical loss. He's a pivotal piece of your offense, but it's good that Stroud has been shorthanded and the offense has been able to click without some key factors of your offense. Secondly, C.J. Stroud's the type of quarterback that goes through progressions and throws the ball to the open man. I don't think that C.J. Stroud's ever going to be overly dependent on any receiver in the lifetime of his career, so that's good. If you had a quarterback who just, like, he has to have his top two receivers to succeed, you would be in a world of trouble because that's how much Tank Dell means to this offense. But because C.J. Stroud can thrive with some of his, you know, better players not playing alongside of him, that's another check. Critical loss, but they have the quarterback that can kind of overcome it.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to for me, is just my faith, the faith that I already have in C.J. Stroud so far in his career, where this late in the season, every single time it looks like, oh, he loses Noah Brown for a minute, he loses Nico Collins for a minute, he loses Tank Dell for a minute, I have faith that he's going to be able to lift the play of the guys around him. I totally agree that it's a huge loss. Like, there's no doubt about that. They're losing Tank Dell. He is the most dynamic weapon that the offense had. That is a huge loss. It's just my faith in C.J. Stroud, and honestly, my faith in Nico Collins in general makes me believe that this offense is still going to be able to operate and work, just maybe not as efficiently as it did before. The guy that I think really has an opportunity to step up, and you've kind of pinpointed him a little bit in some of your film breakdown this week, is John Mechie. He hasn't had a lot of big plays. He hasn't had a lot of big moments. He's had some opportunities here and there, but he has to take advantage of them. But there's one play specifically that you've highlighted a couple of times this week and that I saw go down as soon as it happened in the game. I was sitting next to Paul, and it was that play where it was kind of it was out of rhythm, or not out of rhythm. It was off script, and John Mechie was covered, decides to go towards the sideline. C.J. Stroud points deep, and Mechie decides to go a shallow route more towards the sideline. C.J. Stroud misses him on the deep throw because Stroud thought he was going to go deeper. That's one of those plays right there where you're starting to see chemistry between a quarterback and a wide receiver start to work its way out. Paul just thought C.J. Stroud missed Mechie. I thought Mechie just ran the wrong route because I saw the point. He thought he was going to go deep. That's something that you said on social media yesterday or day before yesterday. That's not going to happen many more times. The next time, that's going to be 6 points. This is an opportunity for John Mechie to come in and not be Tank Dell. Obviously not be Tank Dell, but really try to help give them another weapon in blocking, in some of those off-script plays when things break down. This is his opportunity to show that he was worth the draft capital that they drafted him at, no matter everything that he's gone through. And I really do feel like C.J. Stroud is going to help him continue to get better and become a bigger part of this offense.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who steps up, because we've seen Xavier Hutchinson at times. Like, he had the big play a couple of weeks ago, hasn't played a lot, and he was inactive this past week. First time he's been inactive in a while, and it's because you had all of your full complement of wide receivers. I would imagine that Mechie is that the new number four receiver for this team, but I mean, it's your fourth receiver. I think that the production that's going to be picked up is you're going to spread it amongst the top three, because I still don't think Mechie's going to play a ton. I think that you're going to have Robert Woods out there, you're going to have Noah Brown out there, you're going to have Nico Collins out there. They're going to be your main guys, and I think that you kind of fill Tank Dell's void with the aggregate of those guys. I think Mechie's going to have a big play here and there, but the bulk of the productivity that you're losing with Tank Dell, I think, has to be soaked up with those top three guys. Mechie, like, I'm not calling Mechie a lost cause, and this is his first year. That scramble drill, you know, like you said, I thought that Mechie should have, you know,
got to run a little deeper on that.
Yeah, I think go vertical, go towards the goal line, you know, whatever. It's just a miss. They haven't played a lot together. You still won the game. It's not like a critical error. It would have been if you didn't win. And then he also had that illegal formation where they ran the jet sweep with him. He was lined up off the line. Texans had five in the backfield. They got called for that. So it's like the little things where I think Mechie's just a little bit off. And how quickly can he, like, get going? How quickly can he start clicking? I don't know. I think Mechie's your fourth receiver. I think he's ahead of Hutchinson.
I agree with that.
But I think Mechie's closer to five than he is three.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. It's just he's going to get more opportunities with Tank out. Far more opportunities than he was getting before. I think more reps. Honestly, you talk about all those little things. How can he do those little things better? How can he stop making those little mistakes? How can he know to go a little bit more vertical? It's just more reps. And if I had to choose between, in this five-game stretch, Noah Brown, and I know we have some games of Noah Brown making some big plays, but if I had to choose Noah Brown being the guy who could step more into doing the Tank Dell type stuff, or John Mechie kind of falling more into that role and showing some of his dynamic athleticism that he's got, I don't know why. I just have this gut feeling that Mechie is going to be the guy to step more into that role than Brown would.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think Mechie's skill set's a little closer to Tank's. Not that it matters a whole lot. Like, give me production over trying to match skill sets. But I think Mechie's kind of closer to the skill set that you miss in Tank than Noah Brown, where he's a little smaller, probably a little bit shiftier. Probably a little bit faster. I would guess Mechie's a little faster than Brown. I guess I don't really know that for sure, just a guess. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. How much will the Texans be impacted with no Tank Dell? And who fills the void of all that production that you're losing with Tank Dell? 713-780-3776. Also on the other side, there's been some drama. A lot of people think that I started it. I think that Titus Howard started it, for what it's worth. But there's been a lot of drama about Laremy Tunsil being the one and the only one of the offensive line that didn't go and defend C.J. Stroud when he got into that little bit of a spat. Well, C.J. Stroud was on Pat McAfee yesterday and talked a little bit about that spat, and he thanked certain people that had his back. Also, who was the Laremy Tunsil of the radio station? Who would run and have your back, and who would be the one guy that's off to the side that wouldn't? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
He's Beard in for Blank. Blank is out today. His wife's under the knife. Hope she's well. Out of respect to that, we won't make fun of Blank too much. Too much. We're still going to make fun of
him. I won't make fun of him at all.
Too much.
I need Joel to know I will not make fun of him a single time.
And because he's out for the next 3 days, we're not going to do the where's blank today. Wrong answers only. I might say that for Friday. We can't do that 3 days in a row. We'll run out of material. Can't do it 3 days in a row. Got a texture here. 4093. Branham, you suck. Got another texture. 1176. You started it, Branham. And then another texter here says, the only reason I'm listening to this segment is because of Josh Beard.
Ah, so, well, I like that.
A lot of love for Beard. I think everybody hate for Branham. You're the face. I'm the hill.
Well, that's why it is about. Called the Killer Beards whenever I fill in. The show name gets changed to the Killer Beards. That was decided by me last time I filled in, and we'll continue.
I appreciate, you know, I appreciate myself for giving you the Killer Bee rub.
That's true. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much. I'm going to be the one guy who just, the next time Texans offensive linemen come after you, I will come and help you out. I will
yeah,
aid
I noticed
you
that
next
you didn't
time.
Do that the other day.
I was too afraid. They're big men, and they're scary.
They're on the internet. Who is the Laramie Tunsil of this station? 713-780-3776. We'll get to that in a second. So, you know, whenever I brought this up the other day, you know, there was that spat in the Denver game, blah, 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 blah. We know the story. Four offensive linemen came to the defensive Stroud. Three of them came initially. One came late. That was Juice Scruggs, who saw the melee going on behind him at the exact same time that Tunsil did. Juice was further away. Juice came running. Tunsil wiped out the wrinkles of his jersey. Four guys came. One guy didn't. You know, everybody was saying, well, it's a nothing burger. I've always been taught, Beard, I don't know how you feel, that football 101 is that the offensive line has the defense of their quarterback. That's always what I've understood. That's what I've been told. Have you heard different?
No. The one thing I will say, as I'm like 90% in agreement with you. The one thing I will say is I could see a scenario where Laramie Tunsil turns around, see the other four offensive linemen over there dealing with it, handling the situation. C.J. Stroud has already backed off. The whistle's been blown. Maybe he didn't think he needed to be over there. I would at least have started walking towards the situation if I had noticed late. Yeah. I at least would have like, hey, what's going on? Is everything all right? Especially as like the number one, like head honcho, left tackle, you're the guy on the offensive line. I would have at least walked over there and like tried to throw some of the clout around and be like, hey, is everything all right? Do I need to handle anything? And
right.
Then everything would have been fine.
See,
but
that's my thing on that, yeah. Beard, is that like some people are saying you're questioning his integrity and his character. I'm like, okay, it's not that serious. He's just one dude that's not going back there out of the fight.
Yeah, you're just asking why.
Right. And then, well, I mean, I do think that he should have been back there. Like,
yes.
I'm asking why, and I'm also being critical of him. The other thing is, like, the math backs me up. Like, four of the five went, one of the five didn't. So, like, the math supports me in this case.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, like, I'm trying to unravel the Texans. You're questioning his character. I've been called some very nasty things. Thank you, Titus Howard, for making people call me some very nasty things on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I have thick skin. Imagine if he did this to somebody who didn't have thick skin. I'd be very concerned. I would be very, very worried about something like that. And so people, too, are like, oh, you want him to come pick up an unnecessary roughness? No, man. I just want him to walk to the
there.
Scene. Like, I don't need him to do anything. I just
look
need him
over
to
there
walk
and start
to the
walking.
Scene. And the other thing, too, is he's the guy who wears a C on the chest.
Yes.
Like, the perception of your captain chilling at the line of scrimmage when 80% of the offensive line go to the quarterback, you know, kind of, it rubbed me the wrong way. I don't like that. Does it mean that I think Laramie Tunsil has low character? Of course not. Does it mean that I want to trade Laramie Tunsil? Of course not. He's a top three quarterback. Does it mean that I think Laramie Tunsil wouldn't defend C.J. Stroud in a real fight?
No.
Of course not. It's just a very, you know, it's a thing I noticed that I brought to, you know, everybody's attention and then, you know, brought to the attention of Titus Howard, and he sicked all his followers on me. But another thing is that everybody was calling it a nothing burger. This is a nothing burger. This is not, you're making something out of nothing. This is a nothing burger. Well, C.J. Stroud didn't think it was a nothing burger. C.J. Stroud went on with Pat McAfee yesterday, and McAfee's first question to him was about the spat and you defending yourself and stepping to the face of a linebacker. Here, listen to C.J. Stroud to the people that he thanks in this whole spat.
The coolest thing for me was seeing my brothers having my back, you know, my old linemen, they ran down. They was not playing by me, and I appreciate that a lot because just like they were there for me, I'm always there for them. And I
the
try
coolest
to be
thing about this was the offensive line having my back, and I appreciate that a lot. You might say it doesn't matter. You might not say – whatever you're going to say, you can no longer say it's a nothing burger. C.J. Stroud just went on national television and unwarranted thanked the offensive line that had his back, and he was very appreciative of that. It is not a nothing burger.
I've talked with multiple former NFL players before about some of the parallels between being in the military and being on a football team like that. There's like a brotherhood to it, right? And there's it's obviously two completely different worlds. One's like high level peak professional athletes. The other people are like defending freedom and fighting. Two totally different worlds, but similar mentalities where there's this brotherhood mentality. And if we were out, a group of military guys, and anybody messed with one of our people, good luck, because the entire group is coming and we're going to handle it. It's this. I feel like it's the same thing in the conversations that I've had with former NFL players, where it's that same brotherhood mentality, where they want to see that their brothers, that the brotherhood of football players, their teammates have their back. Like when you're a part of a group and you're a part of a team, you want to see that they have your back. So he was appreciative because they had it. It's definitely not a nothing burger, but I don't pull anything from that makes me think, okay, CJ maybe wasn't happy with Laramie Tunsil.
No, I don't think that either.
I know you don't. I just think it's he definitely noticed, and it definitely matters to him. It definitely matters when you're on a team with guys to know if your teammates have your back, to know which ones are going to ride or die with you, and that really does matter. It's not a nothing burger.
Yeah, the fact that he thanked the offensive line that was there makes it more than a nothing burger. Does it make him despise Tunsil? Of course not. Does deep in C.J. Stroud's heart, does he know that Laramie Tunsil, if it was a real melee, would have his back? I think so. I hope so. I think, and I do really believe that he would. But it's just interesting how C.J. Stroud was very quick to thank his offensive line, and people were trying to downplay the whole situation. 713-780-3776, 9193 says, Branham, you're my hero. I mean, not all heroes wear capes. Maybe some of them wear headsets.
Don't say stuff like
AR
that to
Platinum,
Jeremy, please.
Branham, you know how I feel about this. You're right. 9207, bottom line, Laramie Tunsil should have been over there. I don't know why people are coming at you for pointing it out. I think it's because fans are fanatics. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I get you're going to defend your team. This is the first time in a long time that the Houston Texans have been good. Like, you're feeling good vibes. Like, everything's great. Like, if this would have happened last year in a 4-13-7, I think a lot of people would have kind of been on my side of this. But you're thinking good vibes. You don't want to see the negativity. I totally, totally understand it, to be completely transparent. My thing is that I'm always going to point out things that I see, whether times are good, whether times are bad, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. It's kind of my shtick. It is who I am. The other thing I'll say to this, though, like, imagine if this happens on Sunday with the Jets. Let's pretend like this situation with Tunsil and coming over and the drama of this week did not happen. Let's imagine that on Sunday, when the Houston Texans are playing the Jets, and Zach Wilson, in the same exact situation, goes face mask to face mask with Christian Harris.
Yeah.
Four offensive linemen come over, one of them doesn't. What would we in the city of Houston be saying about that offensive lineman? Oh,
yes.
Zach Wilson's lost the locker room. Oh, Zach Wilson doesn't have the trust of the offensive line. Oh, the offensive line doesn't like Zach Wilson. Like, if this was any other team but the team that you root for, you'd understand.
Be questioning it. That's the part that matters the most to me, is it, and not even necessarily a message to the fan, to the other fans and to other cities, but it's a message to the other team. It's a message to the other guys that are opposing you. It's like, hey, you don't mess with my quarterback. That's my guy. You don't mess with my teammates like that. That's why it mattered that he at least walk over, get involved, or show any semblance of interest in the situation at all, rather than look back, see that there are guys that are already over there handling it, and then not go over there. And like you brought up earlier, that C on his chest, it's about sending a message to the other team that we are a team that works together and we're going to fight for each other. And that matters. It really does, because any time another team senses any kind of weakness, they'll attack it.
713-780-ESPN. All right, let's get to who's the Laramie Tunsil of the station. Who's the one guy, if we got into a fight, ESPN 97.5 against the Highway to Hell, who is the one person at our station that wouldn't have the back of the rest of the station? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I know somebody who has my back. That's Hollingsworth Law Firm. They want to have your back, too. If you ever get into a car accident, somebody you know gets into a car accident, the first person you need to call is Hollingsworth Law Firm. Something really cool about Hollingsworth Law Firm, too, they're not going to bill you right out of the gate. They're not going to have these billable hours. You don't need a retainer, all of these things that lawyers do. You don't have to worry about that with Hollingsworth Law Firm. You don't pay a cent until you win your case. If you or someone you know has been in a car accident or gets into a car accident, maybe you've been injured on the job as well, tell them to call Hollingsworth Law Firm. 18-wheeler accident, call Steve Hollingsworth, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's an industrial accident. Maybe it's an oil-filled accident, an offshore accident. You know who you call? You call Hollingsworth Law Firm. Hollingsworth Law Firm has recovered millions for their clients. Hire a fighter in your corner against these insurance companies. No one likes to deal with insurance companies. We've all had to deal with insurance companies. We all hate it. I've never met somebody who's like, yeah, I really love calling the insurance company. No, you don't. You're lying. Make sure Hollingsworth Law Firm deals with those insurance companies for you. Free consultation. You don't pay until you win. Call right now, 713-999-8773 for that free consultation. 713-999-8773. Plug it in your phone in case you get into a future accident or whatever the case may be. Also, visit them online, carwrecktexas.com. It's carwrecktexas.com.
Razor blunt commentary delivered with a special purpose.
What's happening to my special purpose?
It's the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, who is the Laramie Tunsil of the station? 713-780-ESPN. Beard's in for Blankers today. Blanker is not here. Wife having a little surgery on her torn meniscus. I guess I should have mentioned that. People's minds are wondering.
Well, yeah.
She having surgery on it. Maybe I should have mentioned that. Failure on my part. I'll take the L there. Look at me, conceding L's. I do that all the time.
Pat yourself on the back while you're at it.
How did I twist? Only I would twist a compliment of myself after Joel's wife is having knee surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Leave it to me.
You even, I don't even think Paul could twist that way.
Paul can do anything. Paul's a talented son of a gun. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Who is the Laramie Tunsil of our station? We got into an anchorman fight with the other station across town. Who is our one teammate, Beard, that is not going to run in and fight for us?
I am. Why do I have to go first? That's my first question. Why can't Joe go first? Why do I have to go first?
I'll go first.
Because you're a host, you're talent.
I know.
We always go towards the talent before
that's true.
We go to the producer.
I'm just really worried about this. I have two answers. One, I think I lean towards more because I just straight up think he wouldn't notice. Like Laramie Tunsil didn't notice the scuffle the other day. I think he wouldn't notice and it just period wouldn't notice. My first answer would be Paul Gallant, just because he'd be in his phone or not paying attention, and there'd be a lot of noise of all of us fighting the highway to hell, and it'd just be him going, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah, oh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, and he just wouldn't know what was going on. If he knew what was going on, I think he would go after it. The other one, I don't mean this in a bad way, so I hope he doesn't take it this way. I just don't think he cares. My other candidate would be Dell. Okay. I just think Dell just doesn't care. See, he'd see the fight, he'd kind of laugh, he'd start videoing it, and he'd be like, this is great content, and he wouldn't care at all. And I don't blame him for that.
I think Dell cares. I think his way of expressing cares is
far different
than everybody else.
Yeah.
But I think I do think that he cares. I'm going to go Dell, too. And maybe that's why I just talked him up a little bit. No, that's not
bad, but...
No, I would go Dell. Dell is a little bit more of the, like, he's chill, he's calm. You know, he's not going to be one that's going to be, you know, easy to engage with. Like, he just doesn't get heated. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this isn't a who's not coming to fight for you. This is more of a who's just low-key chill and thinks it's all a waste of time. And that would be Dell. So I'm going to go with Dell as well. Joe, what is your answer? I'm going to go a little dark horse candidate with Joe though.
Which station are we fighting?
Joe won't even have my Joe won't even give me coffee.
I tried to get you coffee today.
He's not here today. That doesn't help him.
You know what that was? It was an empty offer.
Yeah, it was.
You know how we have our empty threats to our kids? If you don't do this, you're not going to get any candy, and you give them candy anyways. This was an empty offer from Joe George.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that, because I definitely forgot you were here and didn't text you if you wanted coffee. Which station are we fighting?
One that you want to fight. We'll go that way.
I think Paul and Dell are at the top of my list. Like Dell, I think Dell would care more about, like Josh was saying too, like getting the video. Like if Lance or John got punched in the face, Dell might view that as an opportunity to move from producer to host.
Yeah.
So like, that's what I was thinking too. Like if Joel's like getting his ass kicked by the Baytown baddie, like I might just sit there and watch.
Because that sucks for you, Joel.
That's my opportunity to move into the other room. Like Jeremy, I don't know. Like I know your wife. More more than I know Joel. So, like, yeah, it's a tough spot. But I'd say Paul and Dell. But Paul, my reason is I think he has too many friends. Now, I know there's one person or two people that he would have no problem fighting with.
I don't think Paul has any problem getting into a little scuffle. I don't think Paul is even close to the top of the answer, unless, like Beard said, he was distracted. Paul's got a little temper. Like Paul's gonna like get down if he needs to get down.
I actually feel like Paul would be the one that would be most likely to go insane and go after Seth.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like he'd be the only one dumb enough to go after a former NFL player.
Look, that's why I say the only reason I would say Paul is if he just didn't know what was happening and wasn't paying attention. Because one time I saw Paul shatter a glass in a studio by throwing things against it. I can't remember if it was a cup or if it was a mouse.
It was a mouse.
Yeah, it was his mouse. Threw it against the glass, shattered the glass. I have seen that guy rage out so many times.
Mouse for a computer. I don't want PETA getting...
Or a binder. He threw a binder one time, too. Paul likes to throw things, although it's been a while. So he's grown up a lot. But the not paying attention would be the reason for him. Yeah, a little bit. I'll give him that.
713-780-ESPN. Who would be the tunsil of our station that wouldn't be there for the rest of his team? Virginia says that Dell would not have your back. My kitchen is dirty. Lance would get a high ankle sprain running to a fight. Maybe that's what Laramie was doing.
But like,
he's got a spunky knee. Maybe he was like, you know what? I don't want to run.
It's not worth the injury risk.
Because like the attempt is there for Lance if he sprains his ankle on this way. He still tried. He just didn't make it.
I think Lance would hobble over.
I think Lance would definitely he'd roll his chair over. That's what he'd do. He'd roll his special chair over so he could sit and talk. He'd try to talk people out of it.
Alex says Paul is definitely scratching out some eyeballs. I agree with that.
I did too.
OG says that Joel is a bigger size Laramie Tunsil of 97.5. I noticed that OG's in the chat today, and he's never been in the chat here recently. I don't know why that is. Why is that the case?
Interesting.
OG?
That's weird. Huh.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. This guy says 9193. He's going to throw out a name here. He says if it's not Granato, then I don't know. You don't think Granato would scrap?
I think Granato would absolutely scrap.
Like, I mean, he might not scrap, but he might order a hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He'd have a lackey go do it for him, but he'd definitely react.
Well,
like,
okay.
He might not get blood on his hands, but he's going to be heavily involved if you catch what I'm putting down.
Yeah, but like, if the argument for why Laramie didn't partake is because he's like the OG of the offensive line, he's one of the longest tenured Texans, and he's like, I don't need to deal with this. There's other guys that can handle it for us. Like, that could be John. Where he's like, I don't need to do this.
Maybe.
I've already won my lawsuits against 6'10". Like, I'm fine. No. I don't need to fight them.
He's gonna find a payphone and call a buddy. And all of a sudden, somebody else is going to show up with a broken leg.
Yeah, I feel like Nick from Nick's Place is going to show up and go to war.
Like we're going to show up, and then somebody's going to have a broken leg, or all going to be like, well, I know how he got that broken
leg. Going to show
the
up.
The Dawn.
Somebody will show up with one of those T-shirt guns shooting Coors Lights with the cold blue mountains all over the place, shooting them at people. Somebody on the text line also said Connor. Nah, Michael's a hothead. I have learned that about him. He's super mellow and super chill, but I think he would be one of the first people to run at whatever there is. So I don't even think Connor's close to a candidate.
Yeah. Plus he's a fiery redhead.
He is.
Like, which redhead is not fiery?
That
I want a redhead on my side for sure.
It burns hot and it burns bright. I've seen it happen. I saw it happen today when he was talking about the 2005 Astros team. He got really hot really fast. Over the 2005 Astros. I think that he would be one of the first people there. He would be the Shaq Mason. Honestly, Michael Connor would be the Shaq Mason. Shaq Mason was the first person to make it to the scuffle the other day. Yeah. I think he would be the Shaq Mason.
Virginia says Booker T.
I could see that.
The advantage. If everyone's showing up, we got Booker.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I mean, what's Booker T going to do? Hit the spin-a-rooney on you? Like,
he might get a chair.
He's going to need you to jump to power bomb you. Like, he needs your help to create some sort of violence against you. You know what I mean? Like, I have to jump in order for him to execute some sort of choke slam. Plus, I saw Booker T the other day at the airport. Boy, he's not moving around great.
He's a little slow. That's why he always has to ride around on the Segway.
Yeah, he's moving around a little slow these days. And plus, the other guy would have to be in on it, you know? Because
that's true. Yeah,
you know, I don't want to ruin any secrets here, but the other guy would need to, you know, help out Booker a little bit. Depends on who's getting the pin if you catch the drift. Somebody said Dell is the tunsil. Someone said that Paul is on the sideline recording for likes. I think if anybody's getting likes, it's probably me.
Yeah, so are you the one, Jeremy?
Wait, yeah.
Like, are you the one
I'm
like...
I'm it down. I'm
I feel like Jeremy wouldn't be the first one there.
I'm just too slow and fat to be the first one there.
I think you'd try to reason with them first. You'd try to logic them, and then last resort would be to throw
down. I don't know. I just like knowing how your engagements are going right now on social media.
Somebody threatened to fight me. Somebody did threaten to fight me.
Did they really?
Yeah, and then he followed me and said, you're cool. So I won him over. No, he threatened to fight me. He was calling me a lot of names that I can't say on the radio.
I had my first caller threat a couple of weeks ago where a caller called in. Yeah, a caller called in and said that they were going to come up to the station to fight me.
What'd
that was
say?
Interesting. I didn't say anything. Andrew said, well, he's former military and he knows how to fight, so I probably wouldn't do that. And the guy hung up.
That's interesting.
Whatever. I'll just stay in here.
I've never had a caller threaten to fight me. On Twitter all the time, but that's Twitter.
I threaten to fight you on Twitter at least once a week.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I've never seen you.
Oh, well, it's just me reading your tweets and just saying it to myself then.
0511, Lance isn't a fighter. Dell is the Tunsil of 97.5. Laramie Tunsil, the station's Paul Gallant. Lance wouldn't due to fear of injury on the way over to the scuffle, which somebody mentioned that one earlier. It depends on how many cores Granato has. Granato will engage if he's had a few cores.
Yeah.
He's brought into the station to get onto us whenever he's had a couple of cores, so...
I love how everybody's just assuming Lance is the one that's going to get injured trying to make it to the fight. I don't know. What is it about Lance? Does he get injured often?
He sprained his ankle playing disc golf.
Well, that happens sometimes. Every once in a while, whenever you step wrong.
You're right. You think physical combat sports. You think UFC, MMA. You
disc
think
golf.
Sweet science, yeah. Boxing. You think football. And disc golf.
Hey, don't knock those disc golf injuries. There's a reason why my arm goes numb every time I drive now.
Okay. There's an issue. Okay, I'm just leaving it there. 713-780-ESPN. Moving on. 713-780-3776. Is this it for the Astros offseason? Victor Caratini and Dylan Coleman also ends the era of Martin Maldonado. What is left for the Astros to do this offseason? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.